Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Am I Carl Amari or are you Carl Amari?
It's confusing, isn't it?
I know. I think we're all Carl Amari. And
I think we kind of look alike and sound alike, so it's really hard to tell.
I know. Well, you're very handsome, Lisa,
if you
are Carl Amari.
And you're very attractive.
Thank you. It's August 5th. This is the WGN Radio Theater Program 307 in the series. We've had 307 of these shows, Lisa.
I can't recount that.
I can't even believe that.
I can't believe we sat together that many hours.
Wow.
Wow.
All right. Well, you know what?
What?
We have classic radio shows all the way till 1 o'clock in the morning. We have two episodes, and one is Suspense, starring Burt Lancaster in The Big Shot, 1948 broadcast. Then Roy Rogers and Dale Evans star in a 1954 broadcast of The Roy Rogers Show. But first, we're going to play our game, Cat's Pride, Crack the Quote. What is the movie, Lisa?
The movie is 12 Years a Slave.
12 Years a Slave.
A slave.
Mm-hmm. And okay. What do they win?
The prize is the prize everybody at WGN is wanting. It is the Never Measure.
Yeah, the Never Measure. Okay.
Our listeners are clamoring for it, so we have one to give away right
All
now.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. You can call right now. Be the fifth caller and play the game on the air. Win a Never Measure. Call right now. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
And we have George to play with us tonight. Hi, George.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Terrific. Glad you made it through. Congratulations on being caller number 5. The movie is 12 Years a Slave. Here we go. Quote number 1. Roger, are you listening?
Yes,
okay,
I am.
Just making sure you're with us. Number 1. Every man has his secret sorrows, which the world knows not. Number 2, if you let yourself be overcome by sorrow, you will drown in it. Number 3, no one ever told me that grief felt so like fear.
Number 2.
You like number 2. All right.
Yeah.
Carl?
Number 1.
Number 1. Roger?
I'm going with number 2.
Number 2 is if you let yourself be overcome by sorrow, you will drown in it. Let's hear it.
You let yourself be overcome by sorrow, you will drown in it.
Very good. George, you are a winner. Roger, good job.
Well, I'm just following George's lead.
Well, George knows what he's doing. George, congratulations. You have won the Never Measure. You can easily center, level, and hang your wall decorations fast. No need to use a measuring tape or calculate fractions. It is veteran-owned, made in the USA. You can get yours, and for more information, go to nevermeasure.com. I have it. Everybody here loves it. You're going to love it, George. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for playing. We hope you'll stay with us tonight.
Thanks, George.
Okay.
All right, he's big winner. Won a Never Measure. God, I wish I could get one of those.
I know. Mine is
for... Do you
have
any poll?
No, but I have one that's for sale.
Yeah. Lisa will sell it to me.
I will sell it to you for
she
the right
it
price.
She got it for free, and she'll sell it to me. That
well,
rhymes.
You have no idea what I had to do to get it, though.
Really? What did you have to do?
I had to be a great worker here at WGN Radio.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right.
Okay,
that's not so bad then.
Okay.
All right. Well, I want to tell everyone our text in line is 312-981-7200. That is the number. Text us. We love getting your texts. And last night, I announced a classic radio club. It's our new club, and people have been joining, and it's really a lot of fun. So here's the deal, folks. If you've not heard what this club is all about, it is a club that I started, and every one of you out there listening is invited to join this club. It's called the Classic Radio Club. That's the website, classicradioclub.com. When you join, you will get 10 of the greatest classic radio shows of all time on 5 CDs in a collector case. Now, this 5 CD collection is regularly priced at $39.95. It's yours for only $4. and 99 cents plus shipping and handling. So now each month, I will then hand select 10 more of the greatest classic radio shows of all time for my library of 100,000 shows and send them to you on 5 more CDs, 10 shows on 5 CDs. That will be $14.99, so it's $10 more than the initial month. But again, this is a $39.95 CD collection. And all of these shows are going to be amazing sound quality. They're going to be great shows, never before released shows. And the first time, for only $4.99, you'll get Abbott and Costello with The Who's On First, Sam Spade, Dimension X, Escape, Fibber McGee and Molly, Gunsmoke, Have Gun Will Travel, Inner Sanctum, and Jack Benny in Suspense. Now, you're going to love the Classic Radio Club. To learn all about it, just go to our website, ClassicRadioClub.com, and join. It's only $4.99. You will get this 5-CD set with 10 classic radio shows.
And two important things to note. First of all, there will never be a duplicate. So
never.
You will never get... I just said that. So you will never get the same show twice.
I was just reinforcing what you were saying.
Okay. And secondly, you can cancel anytime you want.
Yep.
So you get the first one. If that's enough for you, you go ahead and cancel whatever feels right for you. No obligation to continue.
Right. And I think once you get the first CD set and see how great it is and how awesome it sounds.
And it's a lot of fun to get it sent to you in the mail each month. It's like a surprise. Every month you get something special, a gift for you or for a friend or a loved one or whatever.
Right. And there's liner notes in there, all kinds of stuff. But, you know, I thought 5 CDs is the right amount per month because it's 10 shows. It's 5 hours. You can listen to 5 hours of classic radio shows a month. I think any more than that's too much. I just think it's a real fun club to be in, and you'll get these CDs sent to you every single month to your door. All right, go to ClassicRadioClub.com. All right, time now for Suspense. This stars Burt Lancaster. It's called The Big Shot. It's from September 9th, 1948. Here's part one now of Suspense.
In just a moment, Suspense with Burt Lancaster.
You just sit down and make yourself at home, Doc. Mary!
Yes?
And look who's here, Doc Lewis.
Oh, my goodness, who's sick?
Oh, golly. Can't a poor doctor make a simple social visit like ordinary folks?
Oh, yeah.
I just finished my last call, so I stopped by to a Steel Haps easy chair, relax, and listen to the Autolite Suspense Show.
Sit right down.
My car and I have had a tough day. We have to keep in shape, too, you know.
I suppose you've got a surefire prescription for keeping your car in shape, Doc.
Oh, you bet. Autolite resistor spark plugs, Autolite batteries, and Autolite ignition systems. I wish every case was as easy as that one.
Well, you sound like Frank Martin. Is your prescription for tired doctors the Autolite Suspense Show?
Right again. Let's listen.
Suspense. Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations bring you radio's outstanding theater of thrills. Starring tonight, Mr. Burt Lancaster in Anton Leder's production of The Big Shot by Brett Halliday. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
You gotta be tough to be a big shot. Especially when you're cursed with yellow curly hair and a pretty baby face. I learned about that early, when I was a kid. And the other kids started razzing. I learned that if you bounced a brick off somebody's head, the razzing stopped, and you were somebody. It was a very profitable lesson, which paid off as I grew up, and I found it pays dividends whether you're on East 10th Street or down in Mexico.
Morton! Charlie Morton!
Yeah? Yeah.
Well, welcome to Mexico.
Well, thanks. You're Quinn, I suppose.
Right. Glad to meet you.
Same here.
Well, it's lucky you were the only American on the bus, or I'd never have recognized you.
No?
No. Collins Rhodey was sending a young fella out just from engineering school, but I didn't expect him.
Listen, Quinn, never mind my looks. You asked for a mining engineer and you got one. Any complaints?
Why, of course.
Well, if there are, you can pay me off my guarantee and I'll get back on that bus.
Now, wait a minute, Morton. I didn't mean to offend you. I got no complaints as long as you can do the job.
I can do the job.
Yes, I guess maybe you can.
Now, how about a drink?
Sure. Right over here at the corner. In Mexico, there's always a bottle of tequila not too far away. That's one thing makes it attractive.
Must be the only thing, then.
Oh, I don't know. Some of us like it down here.
Is that so?
Why'd you come, then?
Well, that's easy. They told me there was money in it.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. In here.
Ah, bienvenidos, señores. ¿Qué quieren ustedes?
Dos tequilas, por favor.
Dos tequilas, sí.
I hope you like tequila, Morton. It's about all they have around here.
It'll do. Are all the bartenders like that?
No, that's Lolita. Her father owns a place.
She ought to be plenty good for business.
I guess so. Say, your stuff is all right. Last box of equipment came in last night, so you can start setting up the mill as soon as we get back.
Don't worry, I'll get it up.
I'm not worried, but time is important.
Dos tequillas, señores.
Si, gracias, Lolita.
Yeah, thanks, beautiful.
Beautiful?
Si, baby, that's you. From top to bottom.
Is okay, señor?
Is plenty okay, baby. Plenty.
Gracias, señor.
Well,
gracias.
Maybe I'm going to like Mexico after all.
Look, Martin, I don't know how much Collins told you about the setup.
Not much. Said there was a chance for some money and plus a little excitement.
He didn't tell you there might be more than excitement. Jail, maybe, or worse.
He mentioned it.
Oh. Okay, then. You understand that we've got a ticklish proposition on our hands. We've got to be careful, especially with these people. If they knew what we were planning.
Okay, what are we planning?
We struck a rich vein of gold quartz in the remote mountains about 20 miles from here. I've got my crew mining as fast as we can before anybody around here finds out about it.
So?
The tough part comes in getting it out of the country. There's a wave of Mexico for Mexicans right now, and if we haul the ore out to the regular stamping mill in town, the government will confiscate most of the gold.
I see. So you bring me in to set up a small stamping mill at the mine and mill the ore there?
Right. We figure that in the next month we can sluice out maybe $500,000 worth of free gold, then get out quick before anybody gets wise.
$500,000?
Yes, but we'll still have to smuggle it out of the country. It's going to be a tough job.
Kid stuff.
Yeah? It's not just the law we've got to worry about.
Well, what else, Lolita?
Sure. These people would inform on us if they found out. But they wouldn't tell the government. They'd tell some bandit gang around in the hills somewhere.
Bandits. I suppose they got a Robin Hood down here, too.
Okay, Morton, maybe you'll learn.
Well, I thought $500,000 would tempt anybody.
And a 20th of that is your share. Maybe 25,000. That's not hay.
Señores.
Careful, Morton.
Señores. ¿Quieren ustedes otra bebida?
No, gracias. ¿Cuánto?
Un peso. Gracias, señores.
Hey, Lolita.
Sí, señor.
You understand, comprende English?
Sí, señor. I speak English muy good.
Oh, so I see.
Never mind, baby. A little is enough. Your old man ever give you any time off?
¿Qué, señor? No comprendo.
Well, let's put it another way. Are you doing anything Saturday night?
Wait a minute, Morton. Better not make any dates.
Well, why not? The guy can't work all the time, especially with stuff like this around. You don't expect me to stay up there...
Hey, quiet, you fool.
Okay. Never mind, beautiful. See you later. Comprende?
Sí, señor. See you later.
Yeah, you get the idea.
Hasta luego.
Look, Morton, I warned you. Be careful.
I'm a big boy. I can take care of myself and her.
Just remember, there's $500,000 involved.
Yeah, $500,000.
Maybe, altogether, for the company. $25,000 for you.
$500,000.
Listen, Morton.
And $25,000 for me.
That's not enough for you?
It'll do for a start.
You think you're a pretty big shot, don't you, Morton?
And you don't like it, is that it?
I don't like you.
That bus is still out there. And you could get another engineer down here in maybe 6 weeks.
Something tells me I ought to take you up on that, but I don't have to like you. As long as you do your job and stay out of trouble.
Okay, then let's leave it at that. Whatever happens, it won't be me who'll have any regrets. The setup was just like Quinn said, except that the ore was even richer than I'd expected. There was a pile of it already mined, and I put the men to work right away assembling the stamping mill. You know, hard rock miners are funny. They hate being bossed by an engineer who's learned all his mining out of books. And they didn't like it either that I was getting a bigger share of the net than they were. And of course, to add that, my looks, the yellow hair, and the baby face. I knew that sooner or later I'd have to show them that they couldn't draw any wrong conclusions from my face. Well, it didn't take long for the showdown to come.
Let's knock off. Charles ready.
Okay.
Wait a minute, Logan.
Yeah?
That sluice is not tight. Better get down there and tighten up those bolts.
It can wait till tomorrow. Chow's ready.
I said get down there and tighten up those bolts.
Who's going to make me? A dude engineer?
Oh, yes.
Hey, you measly little... Come on, you're not tough enough. Look out, old man.
You've got to watch.
Move me, will you? Oh, so you... Look out. Stay out. You're too close to the alley. Martin, look out.
Morton, you knocked him over the cliff. He went down on the gully.
I saw him.
Hurry up. Get down there, man. He's probably hurt bad. Must have fallen 30 feet. Morton, where are you going?
Somebody said supper was ready.
You didn't have to do that. You didn't have to knock him over the cliff.
Yeah, well, I asked for it.
But you didn't have to fight like that? Like you meant to kill him?
They wouldn't take orders, and I had to show him.
Okay, Morton.
Quinn! Hey, Quinn!
Yeah?
He's dead. His neck's broke.
So, you got to show us all how tough you are, don't you, Morton? Even if it amounts to murder.
Nobody else wants any supper, I do. I'm hungry.
For Suspense, Autolite is bringing you Mr. Burt Lancaster in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
You gotta be tough. It's a tough world. And you gotta be tougher than the next guy. I was tougher than Joe Logan, that's all. I beat him in a fair fight. If he slipped and fell over that cliff, well, it's just too bad. While they buried him, I ate my supper. After that, I had no more trouble with the men. The first Saturday that everything was running smoothly, I went up to Quinn's tent. Quinn!
Yeah? Oh, come in, Morton. Now, we're just looking over the take so far. What's your guess?
Maybe 100,000?
Yes, maybe. We'll pull at least 250.
We'll get that half a million, don't you worry.
If nobody bothers us.
Don't be so jumpy. Nobody's going to bother us.
I hope not. Say, Morton, I got to admit you've done a whale of a job so far.
Forget it.
Don't worry, Morton. I don't like you any better. But I can appreciate it when a man knows his job and does it well.
Okay. Look, I'm going into town. You want any supplies?
I'm sending Andy in for him.
Well, there's no use of the two of us going.
Morton, I'm the boss here.
Are you?
Yes.
You told me as long as I did the job, that was all you cared about.
That's right.
Okay, I've done the job. It'll take the crew 2 days to catch up. I'm going to town.
I'll tell Andy you'll get the supplies.
Querido. More tequila?
Si, baby. Come in.
Oh, senor Charm.
Love me, baby?
Pero si, querido. I have never met one like you.
Well, that goes double, baby. You're sensational. You'd knock them dead in the States. I'd like to take you back there. I like to dress you up in fancy clothes with diamonds in your hair.
Diamonds? Oh, senor, you must be very rich.
Not yet, but give me time.
It's very interesting. Tell me more, querido.
Later, baby, later. Right now, let's blow this joint.
But, senor Charlie, is it not you must go back to wherever you go?
Ah, they can do without me for a while. I like it here better. Okay?
Okay, senor.
Well, what was that? What'd the kid say?
It's nothing, Senor Charlie. It's a game they play.
Well, what'd he say?
He say, beware El Chico.
Oh, who's El Chico?
It's nobody, Senor. You must not mind.
Sounds like a Mexican goblin or something.
El Chico is, they say, a bandido. He not like Americanos. He rob, kill them. They see me with Americano, they say, beware El Chico. It's a game.
I get it. He's the Mexican equivalent of Superman, eh? An imaginary Robin Hood in a sombrero.
Oh, no comprendo, senor.
Never mind, baby. Forget the fairy tales. That kid ought to be home in bed anyway instead of running around a saloon.
He's my little brother.
Oh, I get it now. This is the family game to scare off the Americanos, eh?
No, senor.
Well, I don't scare easily, baby. I don't scare at all.
Ah, bueno.
No, sorry, I... Say.
¿Qué? What is the matter, Senor Charlie?
Nothing, baby, nothing. I just had a great idea, that's all. Thank you, little brother, for me, baby. He's just given me a great idea.
That's Burt Lancaster there, starring in a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense, called The Big Shot from 1948. Yeah.
We have Burt a fun Lancaster. Fact about Burt Lancaster up on our Facebook page. You can check it out. It's very interesting, but I'll let you read it about it yourself rather than give it away.
Where can you
go to WGN Radio Theater on Facebook?
Ah, I don't do Facebook.
I know, so you don't know what the fun fact is.
I don't do Twitter.
So.
I don't do Instagram.
Or drugs.
I don't do any of that kind of stuff.
I don't
do any of that social media stuff.
Right. You're just not a social kind of a guy.
I'm antisocial.
That I know.
All right, so check out Burt Lancaster fun fact somehow, somewhere on Facebook.
That'll do it.
What do you do? Search WGN Radio Theater?
That would work.
All right. Very good.
And make sure to like us while you're there.
All right. Let's take a quick break. Then more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Welcome back. I'm Carl Amari. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. We have Ashley Byhan as producer of the show tonight. Ashley is amazing. We love her.
She's only amazing tonight, though.
Well, she's amazing tonight.
She was amazing last night, too.
Yeah.
So let's
go with that.
She's
probably amazing during the week, too.
Probably, but we wouldn't know that for sure.
I'm just guessing she is.
Probably.
Yeah. We are listening to Burt Lancaster starring on Suspense. After this, we're going to listen to a good Western Adventure of the Roy Rogers Show. And if you want to check out what we're playing here on the WGN Radio Theater, you can go to our website, WGNRadioTheater.com. And in fact, when you do go there, there's a pop-up that will pop up for the Classic Radio Club, this new club that we just started for all of our listeners. So check that out. Click through right to our website. Do check out ClassicRadioClub.com. I think you'll love being a member. Right now it's time for the conclusion to The Big Shot, starring Burt Lancaster on Suspense.
Yeah, a great idea. For a long time I've been thinking, why just $25,000? Why not the whole half a million? There's something wonderful about those little bags of free gold, you know? They're so negotiable. You don't have to exchange them for anything else before you can get the cash. With a half a million and Lolita, life could be beautiful. And now the plan was shaping up in my mind. I started putting it into effect as soon as I got back to the camp. Quinn was waiting there for me as I rode up, and I could see he was boiling.
Where in thunder have you been? You were due back 2 days ago.
I got drunk. I didn't feel like hitting the trail this morning.
Oh, just like that. Take it or leave it.
Well, that's it.
I don't blame a man for getting drunk. Once. But I'll send somebody else in for supplies next week.
I'm going in. I got a date next Saturday night.
Listen, Morton, I told you...
You want to fire me now? Huh? You got anybody else that can keep the mill going?
I haven't, and you know it.
All right, then. Let's get to work.
Morton.
Maybe we better speed up a little, too.
Why?
Well, they're talking in town about this El Chico.
El Chico?
Yeah, a bandit who thinks he's going to run all the Americanos out of Mexico. He's making war on the Americans. He's been raising Cain up north.
Up north?
Yeah. The talk in town was that he's heading down this way.
I was afraid of something like that. You better tell me about it, Morton. Tell me all about it.
It was a cinch. From the very first, he swallowed it all. By the next Saturday, he was begging me to go back to town. Keep my ears open, find out all I could. Of course, I heard plenty. Then Quinn was hurrying the men, trying to figure out a way we could get out. But the way I told him, El Chico had complete control of the province of the north and blocked our way back to the States. The only other way was across the mountains to the west, and they were impassable without native guides. Now, he knew that, but I reminded him. And then the next time I went into town, I brought back the map, a greasy, crumpled, dog-eared pencil map. Scrawled on butcher paper. It was a masterpiece. It should have been. It took me a whole night to draw it. And it showed an old wagon road going out over the mountains to the coast. I told Quinn I bought it from an old Mexican. It was the prelude for my trump card.
Okay. Map looks genuine, all right. And if it is, that road can't be more than 10 miles due west of here.
Well, I figure less than that. Straight over there in that low pass.
My golly, I think you're right.
Sure. All we got to do is to get across this one, this one canyon right here.
And how do you figure we do that? With wings? It's 300 feet deep and 100 wide.
No, it's easy.
Yeah? That tequila you've been swilling in town's got you goofy.
Why not throw a bridge across?
I love the way you say that. Like, why not have another flapjack for breakfast?
Look, I'm an engineer, remember? I'll put a bridge across there in 3 days.
Morton, you do that and I'll take back everything I ever said about you.
The next morning, I tied a 200-foot length of rope around my waist, took a pulley with me, and started down to the bottom. It took me all day to make it up to the other side. I tied the pulley to a jack pine and pulled the rope through tight and tied it off. And then I came back hand over hand. After that, it was simple to finish the slickest suspension bridge you ever laid eyes on. Plenty strong enough to hold all our men and mules fully loaded. It was so good that even Quinn had the grace to admit it.
I gotta hand it to you, Morton. I've seen a lot of engineers that can work things out on paper, but not many that can do the job themselves.
Thanks.
What do you say we take a look over there tomorrow for that road?
No need to. I took a little walk the day I ran the cable across. The road's there, all right. Just where the map shows it.
Oh. All right, if you found it. I guess that takes care of that.
Sure, we're all set.
Thanks to you. I guess I owe you an apology, Morton. Maybe we all owe our lives to you.
That's the only time, before or after, that I had a qualm where he said that. But you gotta be tough. I couldn't forget that. It was too late now to back out. Everything was ready. We were all set to leave on short notice. Quinn wrote a letter to Collins in the States, telling him to meet us on the coast with a boat. Quinn gave me the letter to mail in town. But of course, I never mailed it. I spent my time in town getting the necessary mules and the gear. And then I went to Lolita.
Querido mio, I have missed you.
Well, it's the last time you'll have to miss me, baby. This is it. The diamonds, the fancy clothes, all of it. Yours.
Mine? Querido, you are rich now?
By this time tomorrow, we'll both be rich. With more gold than we'll know what to do with for the rest of our lives.
Gold? You have found much gold?
Si, and it's ours, thanks to El Chico.
El Chico?
Remember Beware El Chico, the game you played with your brother?
Oh, si.
Well, that's what gave me the idea, and it worked perfectly. We'll have to thank El Chico if we ever run into him.
Oh, I do not think that will happen. After all, El Chico is only in a game, remember?
Well, never mind the games now, baby. We got work to do. Now get some clothes, but keep it light. We'll pull out of here at midnight. And tomorrow we're rich.
Wall there, alto.
We are here already, querido.
No, but you stay here with the mules while I go into camp with Quinn's train. It'll be dawn in an hour, then you start up.
Si.
And remember, raise as much dust as you can. It's part of the plan.
Si.
By the time you get there, everything will be ready. Comprende?
Si, si, querido. You are sure there will be no mistake?
Not with me running this clam bake, honey. Now give me a kiss. Atta girl. Hasta luego, baby.
Good luck, querido.
But I wasn't depending on luck. You don't need luck when you got everything figured. By noon, Alita and I'd be on our way back to the States with a trunk full of that yellow stuff. And the men? Well, I didn't even give them a thought. Not even Quinn. Dumb lugs. Too stupid to reach for what they wanted. They deserved whatever life handed them. Just before I rounded the last bend into camp, I stopped the pack. It's awful quiet in the mountains just before dawn. I took a deep breath and...
Quinn! Quinn! Get going, you mangy cusses. Try to look like you've been running for 20 miles. Quinn! No, Quinn!
Who is it? Partner, is that you? What is it? What's the matter?
Alta! We'll have to get out in a hurry. El Chico's on his way here with 20 men. He'll be here inside of 2 hours.
How'd he find out about us?
Oh, it's all my fault. I was a fool to trust Lolita. I thought she was okay. She sent word to El Chico about the gold.
You blasted idiot. I told you to keep your mouth shut.
I know. You can kick me anywhere. I've been kicking myself all the way up here.
I'd like to kill you.
Well, I wouldn't blame you, Quinn.
All right, men, get those mules packed. We're getting out. The gold first. 2 saddlebags for each mule. All
right, I worked like a demon alongside the men, getting the stuff packed. And then, just as the last mule was getting his diamond hitch, I grabbed Quinn's arm.
What do you want?
Quinn, I've been thinking. I gotta do something.
Looks to me like you've done enough.
Don't you see? It's my fault. It's up to me to do something now.
This is no time to beat your breast. We're getting out. Getting out of here as fast as we can.
No, look, I got an idea. You gotta let me square myself.
Make it snappy. We can't waste time.
Well, listen. I placed a dynamite charge under the eye bolts at this side of the bridge.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'll stay on this side and wait till you're safely across. Then blow the bolts clean so there'll be no trace left.
I see.
You cut the cables on the other side with a hacksaw, and the whole bridge will drop to the bottom where the brush will hide it. You'll be out of sight when El Chico comes. And I'll tell him you've outslicked him, gone north.
He'll waste several days riding after you before he realizes the truth, and by that time, you'll be safe on the coast.
What about you?
Well, I don't matter. This wouldn't have happened if I had shut my mouth off. Come on, you fellas get going.
Nuts, we'll stick together. Cutting the cables on the far side's a good idea. He'll lose a day going back to where he can cross the canyon.
But a day is not enough. His horses will catch your moves. We gotta destroy every sign of the bridge, make them think you've gone the other way. I'm staying.
I don't know.
It's the only way, Quinn. Look, look. You can see the dust cloud over there on the trail. He's coming. You haven't got much time to get out of sight.
All right, Morton. Maybe I was wrong about you. Let me shake your hand. Good luck.
Good luck. That's all guys like Quinn can think about. They don't understand a man who's tough enough to make his own luck. All of them lined up and they shook my hand. They all hated me since I came on the job. Now they were shaking my hand. And in a minute, believe me, you'll start it. Soon they were all strung out on that long, swaying bridge. Quinn stayed till last, spacing them out. I waved to him and waited for him to step out on the bridge. My hand inched toward the plunger. Then the stupid fool started back toward me. Go on, Quinn, hurry, there's no time.
I can catch up with him. Listen, I've been thinking, Morton. Sunday, while you were in town, I looked around for that road. I couldn't find
it. They're all right, you'll find it. Hurry, Quinn.
Maybe so, but I was just thinking. Why'd you plant the dynamite under this end of the bridge?
Well,
why couldn't you have strung wires and blown it out from the other side?
I just didn't. I made a mistake. All right, I'll take the consequences.
You can still do it, Morton. We've got plenty of wire. No need for you to fall into El Chico's hands.
Go on, you fool. Go on. In a minute, it'll be too late.
Too late for what, Morton?
Look at that dust. He's coming.
You know what I think? I think El Chico isn't anywhere within 500 miles of here.
What?
I think you plan to blow up this bridge with the men on it. Drop us all at the bottom where you could pick up the pieces.
Get away, Quinn. You can't stop me now. I'll take care of you later.
Get away from that plunger. Stop it. Morton, get your hand off that. Stop it. No.
Concussion had my head reeling for a few seconds. When the landscape swam back into focus, I could see the bridge was gone. The bridge and the men and the mules. But I couldn't seem to figure out what happened. Quinn lay beside me, very still. I could see blood. I seem to remember hearing a shot. But where did it come from?
Charlie! Senor Charlie!
Lolita! You did it! You shot him! You're wonderful! We did it, baby! We did it! Look at down there, $500,000, baby! 3,000,000 pesos in gold! All we gotta do is go down and pick it up!
Indeed, a good job, senor.
I stared stupidly at the little man in the big sombrero who stepped out of the manzanita and grinned at me. A smoking revolver dangled from one hairy paw, and the other was pulling Lolita toward him. My Lolita. She put her arms around him and kissed him in a way that she never kissed me.
We will pick up your gold for you, senor. You are a very smart man, Senor Charlie. I should like to be your friend. Except you are gringo. And you mistake to make the love to the sweetheart of El Chico.
Thank you, Burt Lancaster, for a splendid performance. Mr. Lancaster will return in just a moment.
What do you do for an acute case of goose pimples, huh?
Well, if I knew, I'd prescribe some for myself.
What you both need are some cool, calm, carefree Autolite words from Frank Martin.
Now, Mary, can't a couple of old jalopy men talk about spark plugs?
Everybody's talking about Autolite resistor spark plugs. Why, they're the best thing that's happened in spark plugs for years. Replace your narrow-gap spark plugs with the sensational new wide-gap Autolite resistor spark plugs. You can actually tell the difference in your car. You'll enjoy immediate improvement like smoother idling and gas saving. Buy a set of Autolite resistor spark plugs tomorrow. So remember, Autolite means spark plugs.
Ignition-engineered resistor spark plugs.
Autolite means batteries.
Stay full batteries.
Autolite means ignition system.
The lifeline of your car.
Yes, and Autolite also makes in its 26 nationwide plants more than 400 automotive, aviation, and marine products, famous the world over for engineered dependability.
And now here again is Mr. Burt Lancaster.
My thanks to the fine cast of radio actors who appeared on tonight's show. Suspense is always one of my favorite programs, whether I'm acting on it or listening to it. And you can be sure that I'll be glued to my radio next Thursday evening when Gregory Peck appears in a story called Hitchhike Poker. Another gripping study in...
Suspense!
Burt Lancaster will soon be seen in the Norma production, Kiss the Blood Off My Hands. Tonight's suspense play was written by Brett Halliday and adapted for radio by Lawrence Goldman, with music composed by Lucian Morawick and conducted by Lud Bluskin. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leder. In the coming weeks, Suspense will present such stars as Robert Young, Virginia Bruce, Edward G. Robinson, Ray Milland, and many others. And of special note, our star tonight, Burt Lancaster, may currently be seen in the film version of Sorry, Wrong Number, that great suspense play, soon to be repeated on this program with Agnes Moorhead in her original role. Make it a point to listen each Thursday to Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills. And next Thursday, same time, hear Gregory Peck in Hitchhike Poker.
This is the Autolite Suspense Show. Drive slowly. Death and danger travel in fast company. Good night. Switch to Autolite.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Suspense, starring Burt Lancaster in The Big Shot from September 9th, 1948. Sponsored by Autolite, is heard on CBS. Great broadcast with a great star, big movie star. And that's what Suspense did. They had big movie stars on the show. And that's what made it different from, like, its sister program, Escape. Escape was also high adventure, mystery, drama, that type of thing. But Escape really almost never had big-name movie stars on it, where Suspense did. So it was a bigger budget, bigger stars. That's how it works, Lisa.
Bigger what?
Bigger what, huh?
Bigger budget?
What? What? Bigger butt?
What are you talking about?
Is that what you said? Bigger butt? Chid?
No, I didn't say that. You must have been confused.
I probably heard you wrong.
Probably.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. So Lisa, do you have apps on your phone?
Everybody does, Carl.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I opened an app while we were driving here tonight
to find out
exactly how long...
Spot Hero or whatever.
No, Waze.
Oh, yeah.
Waze is a great app.
Lisa and I carpool, and there was a lot of traffic coming in here.
But my Waze told me we were only 20 minutes away, so we didn't have to worry.
It's called Waze?
W-A-Z-E.
Oh, like a cool spelling of it.
Right.
Like Lyft, L-Y-F-T.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have plenty of apps. Why?
Well, because I developed an app. I didn't develop it, though.
No, I know you didn't.
But we have an app. I had an app development company make this app for our listeners. It's a free classic radio shows app where you get 10 shows free on the app. All you have to do is download it to your phone, and there's 10 classic radio shows on there. And then there's many more for in-app purchase. And the very best way to get your classic radio show's free app is to just go to our website, WGNRadioTheater.com, and just scroll down to the classic radio show's app banner and click either the Google link or the Apple link. So I guess people with an Android phone click Google, and then people with the Apple phone, right, the iPhone?
Right.
Goes to the Apple link.
Yeah, nothing to it.
Right. Don't miss out. Get your free classic radio shows app today. Just go to our website, scroll down, and you'll see the banner.
Good.
All right, so next hour, Roy Rogers, right?
Yes.
Yeah, very cool.
And I hope everybody checked out the Burt Lancaster fun fact that we have posted on our Facebook page. If you haven't, you're missing something.
Yeah. And so what are we going to do next week if we're not going to do our songs? What do we do?
Right. Well, Ashley is in charge of that. And she's...
Ashley's going to come up with something
for
us?
Her job is she's got 1 hour to come up with a fabulous idea. So I'm counting on Ashley.
Put your thinking cap on.
Here's the thing. If you guys have a great idea, text in. We're looking for...
That's a great idea.
Nothing too grandiose. Just something we can do quickly and simply, just sort of like what we did with our songs. And we've done other contests in the past. What else did we do?
We did a music thing, countdown. It kind of was a countdown.
We did.
I think we did a song, like the best song from every year. That was fun.
We did. So we're looking for a way that we can have a little fun and take a few moments to just talk about our personalities or whatever's going on in the world, whatever we want. If you have a great idea for us, let us know. Give us a text, 312-981-7200. I will be watching the text.
I kind of like the songs. It was a lot of fun, but you just think it was more fun for us than the listener.
I do.
If that's the case, we have to change it because
that
we
was
want
my impression.
What we do here is for the listener, and we can't be just self gratification, right?
We can't be self gratification.
We can't be just no. We can't just do stuff for our own self gratification.
Right.
We have to please our listeners.
That's a pretty big word for you, though.
Yeah. Let me see how many syllables.
Five.
Gratification. How do you know? So she knows without even put her hand on your chin. How do you do that?
I'm pretty sharp that way.
I was taught that that's what you needed to do is to...
I have moved above and beyond third grade, so I'm good.
Not me.
I know.
Why would I want... Grade school was the most fun I ever had. Why would I want...
I agree with you. I wish I was in third grade, but I'm not.
All right. Next hour, it's the Roy Rogers Show. What are we playing next week when we
next
come back here?
Next week, we have... On Saturday, we have Gun Will Travel. We have You Bet Your Life, which is one of my favorites, and David Harding. That's Counter Spy, right?
Yeah, David Harding, Counter Spy.
Yeah. On Sunday, we have Red Ryder and The Life of Riley, which is always a lot of fun.
What do you think of that?
I think I did a great job.
Good
Western
comedy, kind of a detective thing, then another Western, and then a comedy.
Yeah, I like to shake it up a little bit.
Pretty good, Lisa.
Thanks, Carl.
All right, stick around, everyone, because we have The Roy Rogers Show coming up next. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 7:20 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn.
I hear singing and there's no one there. I smell blossoms and the trees are bare.
That sounds like Bing Crosby. Is it?
All day
yeah, it's
long
Bing Crosby.
I seem to walk
Ashley Byhan picks these little songs here as rejoins, they call them. I think that's the technical term in radio. I've only been in radio since 1981. I've been in radio, Ashley, since 1981. Oh, my gosh. That's a long time, Lisa.
That's before she was born.
Oh, I know it's before she was born.
Just saying. Carl, here's an idea that somebody came up with.
Okay.
So the audience could submit a question on anything that they would like us to answer.
Oh.
And we could choose one question each night or each hour, whatever. And it's a good way, they say, to get audience interaction.
That's pretty good.
You said you could also have your audience text you or call in their answers to the same question.
And it doesn't have to be about old time radio.
No, a question, anything. We could answer it. You could answer it. I could answer it. And then we could ask some of our listeners if they agree with us or how they would answer the question.
It could be like, the last time you were in your spaceship, what planet did you visit?
It could be something like that.
You could talk about your interstellar trips.
Or other things, possibly, just as well. I mean, it could be what you did at 3 o'clock today, too.
Because Lisa has so much money, she bought a spaceship. And she flies all around in it.
In my dreams would be the so much money part, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I had your money, I'd burn mine.
If I had my money that you think I have, I would live a very different life.
You'd still be on the radio here, though.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter how... If you were a billionaire, I think, honestly, I think if you were a billionaire, which would be a step down for you.
What I would do was I would get some great, beautiful condo right here down the street,
yeah,
so that I could stay here on the weekends and
that are right near the radio station that would let us stay at their beautiful condo.
I'm sure there aren't.
I'm sure there are. There's somebody listening right now. Be like, okay, no problem, you two.
Well,
you can just.
I do need maid service, of course, and I'll need my chef, you know, to prepare my vegetarian cuisine.
Yeah.
So, your tofu. You know, it gets complicated.
She eats a lot. So when was it? Not too long ago, we went for hibachi, Dan.
Yeah, we did.
And you had like a tofu something.
It was just vegetables and tofu and fried rice.
At hibachi, she was eating.
Oh, it's so good.
She didn't have any shrimp, any chicken, any steak.
I'm a vegetarian.
It was all
so
like,
if you didn't know that,
it was
that's
like
something
vegetables
you know
and
about
tofu.
Me now. So you could like, ask, what's your favorite
and
food?
And I was like, yuck.
So that could be a question. What's your favorite food?
Like, yuck.
Right? And mine is pizza for sure.
Oh, yeah. All right. In this hour, it's the Roy Rogers Show, 1954. But right now, it's time to play our game. Cat's Bride. Crack the quote. What's the movie?
The Princess Bride.
Oh, I got this.
Okay.
1,000%. Put all your money on me.
Okay.
I've seen this movie.
You know what? I would never put all of my money on you, but
well,
it's a good bet.
That's because you're a billionaire.
Right, that must be why.
But
either that or, you know.
I'm telling you, I will get this
right. All
right,
well, let's do
this. I guarantee you.
Roger, you're feeling good about it?
Give us a call.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
312-981-7200, third caller.
We're going to give away two tickets to see Avenue Q, which is playing right now at Mercury Theater Chicago.
All right, call now. 312-981-7200, third caller wins the prize and plays the game. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote. Brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Hi, Lulu.
Hi, you guys. Two of my favorite people.
Oh, so nice. Aww. Well, now you're one of ours. So
nice, Lulu.
It's we're all one big happy family. Have you seen Princess Bride?
Yes, a long time ago.
Good. Same here. All right. Well,
I got your back, Lulu.
All right. Well, maybe she won't even need any help. So let's see how this goes. Roger, are you listening?
I'm listening.
Sometimes he just kind of zones out, so we got to make sure he's with us. Okay. Number one, first, let's drink. Me from my glass and you from yours. Number two, let's sink another drink because it will give me time to think. Number three, I can do it a number of ways, straight up, neat, or on the rocks.
I got this.
All right.
Let Lulu go first.
Thank you, Carl.
Oh, boy. That's hard, but I'm going to pick number three.
You like number three? I can do it a number of ways. You don't like that one, Carl?
It's not right.
Oh, look at Carl.
Doesn't matter, though, because...
Roger, what do you think? He's got his hand raised.
Horshack here. Okay. Horshack has his hand up.
All right. All right. I'll be Cotter. What do you like?
What is it?
I like number one.
You like number one?
It is number one.
It is number one. First, let's drink. Me from my glass and you from yours. Let's hear it.
First, let's drink. Me from my glass and you from yours.
Oh, he's so darn funny. Oh. You know what, Lulu? It doesn't matter. You're a winner because you get to go see Avenue Q. It is a great comedy musical. It's playing right now at Mercury Theater Chicago. It is adult themed, but with puppets. You will love it if you haven't already seen it. And Mercury Theater Chicago does wonderful shows. You will love going there. You can check it out at mercurytheaterchicago.com, but you will be going to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Let me know what you think.
I certainly will.
Terrific. Take care.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Lulu. All right, she's a big winner, and she likes us.
Well, of course. Most people do. There's only one or two people around here. That's
right. There are some people that don't like us. All right, well, guess what? It's time for the Roy Rogers Show. This was a Western. It came to radio in 1944. And guess what, Lisa? It lasted all the way to 1955.
Well,
That's a long run.
What? I was about to guess what, but you didn't let me guess what.
Well, okay.
All right.
The King of the Cowboys, that was his nickname. Roy Rogers starred with his wife, Dale Evans, and his sidekick, Gabby Hayes. The songs were performed by the Sons of the Pioneers, but they were replaced in 1948 by Foy Willing and the Riders of the Purple Sage. In the show's later years, Pat Brady replaced Gabby Hayes. Now, do you know Roy's horse's name? Do you? Yes? Trigger? Is that what it is?
Yes, Carl. I didn't know if I was allowed to talk yet.
And his German Shepherd Wonder Dog was named Bullet. These were 30-minute weekly shows of song and dramatized adventure. It was a fun show, and it really came fun. To television in the 1950s as well. So let's go back now to a broadcast date of March 11th, 1954. Here's part one of the Roy Rogers Show.
Happy trails to you.
The dependable Dodge Plymouth dealer in your neighborhood, the man who sells and services the elegant new 54 Dodge presents the new Roy Rogers Radio Show. Yes, folks, it's the new Roy Rogers Radio Show for the whole family. Adventure, suspense, mystery, and music. Starring Roy Rogers, King of the Cowboys, and Dale Evans, Queen of the West, with Pat Brady, the Mellow Man, and an all-star cast. And now, here to greet you with a song and a story are Roy and Dale.
I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms.
Well, good evening, folks, mothers and fathers, and all you little cowboys and cowgirls everywhere. We're back again with another song and a story. The song is called I'll Hold You in My Heart. Sounds kind of romantic, doesn't it? Brings up thoughts about June and moon and engagements and weddings. Well, that's what it reminds me of, too. The time Dale and Pat and me went down near Claryville to attend the wedding of Dale's girlfriend, Jane Parker. It was a beautiful June day, and we were purring right along in our dependable new Dodge when all of a sudden I saw something in the road and jammed on my brakes.
What is it, Roy?
Well, I don't know. It looks like a man lying in the middle of the road. I got out of the car and ran over to see if I could help. When I bent down for a closer look, I knew there was nothing I could do for him. He'd been murdered.
What is it, Roy? What happened?
Don't come any closer, Dale. Go back to the car. This isn't a pretty sight.
Is he dead, Roy?
Yeah, he's been stabbed. Here's the knife.
Roy!
Yes?
Come here a minute.
Look in his pockets, Pat. See if there's anything to identify him. I'll see what Dale wants. What is it, Dale?
Look over there, just off the road. It looks like a handbag.
I'll get it.
What is it?
That's a medical bag. You know, Dale, like doctors carry.
Hey, there's not a thing in his pockets, Roy. No identification at all. Hey, what you got there?
Well, Dale spotted this down in that ditch.
Oh, a doctor's satchel, huh?
Yeah.
What's in it, Roy?
Just the usual medical stuff.
Well, does it say who it belongs to?
No.
Hey, we better get into town and report this to the police.
Yeah.
You know, they likely haven't got too many doctors in these parts, so he shouldn't be too hard to identify.
Aren't you jumping at conclusions, Pat?
Huh? What do you mean?
What Roy means is that we don't know whether the man who was killed is a doctor, or if it was a doctor who killed this man. Jane! Jane, my, you're a sight for sore eyes.
Oh, Dale, it's so good to see you again. Oh, it's sure swell of you and Roy to come down for my wedding.
What about me? I can be the prettiest little old flower girl you ever did see.
Oh, Pat.
Hey, Jane, is that your friends I heard? Well, sure enough.
Oh, Dale, this is my brother Larry. Larry, this is Dale and Roy and Pat.
Hi, Larry.
Larry.
How
are you?
Hi.
I thought I heard you carpool in. We were getting a little worried. Jane said you'd be here around noon.
Well, we would have been, but a terrible thing happened.
Yeah, about 5 miles out of town, we found the man lying in the road. He was stabbed to death.
Oh, no.
That's awful. Who was he?
We don't know.
That's what delayed us. We had to go into town and report it.
Of course.
The police chief said that from the description we gave him, it sounded like the man was an old doctor by the name of Bannister.
Yeah, you see, we found a medical bag by the side of the place.
Jane! Jane, what's the matter? Oh, Roy, she's fainted.
Yes, Chief, I see. Thanks again, Chief.
Bye.
That was the Chief of Police, Roy. He's positively identified the man as Doc Bannister.
How is she, Dale?
Oh, she's pretty bad. I tried to tell her that we don't know for sure, but she...
We do now. Larry just got a call from the chief.
Oh, Roy.
Larry.
Yes?
This Doc Bannister must have been very close to Jane.
He was. Me too, for that matter. The Doc brought Jane into the world. After our parents died, the Doc practically raised us.
No wonder it was a shock.
Roy. Dale.
Yes?
Jane, honey, you shouldn't be up. Now, you go back to bed and rest a while, huh?
Can't. I've got to know. Was it Dr. Bannister?
I'm sorry, honey. Jane, dear, this isn't going to do any good.
Oh, Roy. We've got to find out who did this terrible thing. We've got to.
Now, try to pull yourself together, Miss Jane. You're not going to be much help in this condition.
Roy's right, sis. And Chief Whitten just called and asked if you and I had to take charge of the funeral arrangements.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
You see, Doc's family are all gone. He lived alone with just a housekeeper to take care of him.
Well, what does the sheriff want us to do, Larry?
Well, he said when you were feeling better, you could come down to his office and make the necessary arrangements.
I think I'd like to do that right now.
I'll help you get ready, Jane.
I'd better see how Pat's doing. I sent him out to look after Trigger and Bullet.
And Roy?
Yes?
Now, this is going to be an awful mess. I don't know what to do.
About what?
Well, I know the chief's going to investigate Doc's murder, and I don't know whether to tell him or not.
Tell him what, Larry?
Oh, it couldn't be. It just couldn't be.
Stop talking in circles, Larry. If you know anything about this murder, you've got to tell the police.
But it involves Spence.
Spence?
Yeah. Jane's fiancé.
Well, how does it involve Spence?
Well, Jane doesn't know this, but Doc Bannister was dead set against her marrying Spence. You see, Spence hasn't been hanging around these parts long, and his reputation isn't too good.
Oh, really?
It seems after Jane got sweet on the fella, Doc did a little investigating. He found out that Spence has always been considered a ne'er-do-well. He hasn't got any money. And he once jilted a girl at the altar back in Desmond, where he came from. Now, Spence and Doc had a terrible argument. The Doc threatened to tell Jane what he'd found out unless Spence called off the wedding.
You can't hold back this information, Larry. You've got to tell the chief.
But, Roy, suppose Spence is involved in this. It'll just about kill Jane.
Hey, where are we going, Roy?
To the Doc's house. Maybe his housekeeper can give us some more information.
Roy, you ain't gonna go get mixed up on another murder case, are you?
I'm gonna do whatever I can to help Jane.
See what I mean? Just one shenanigan after another. Where's Dale?
She went down to the chief's office with Jane to arrange for Doc's burial. 1586... This must be the Doc's house. Come on.
Terrible. I hope you'll forgive me. I usually keep better control over myself than this, but I...
I understand, ma'am. You worked for the doctor a long time, didn't you?
Over 20 years.
Well, then you must know a lot about him.
Everything there is to know. I took care of him and watched out for him. Even helped him on his cases when it was an emergency.
Miss Stringer, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to think carefully before you answer.
Yes?
Do you know of anyone at all who might have had a reason to kill the doctor?
No, that's what's so terrible. Why, he was the kindest, most wonderful man in the world. He was everybody's friend.
Well, excuse me, but that's not what I've been told.
Well, then you've been told wrong. Anybody that says Doc Bannister was the enemy of...
Well, that isn't what I meant. But I have been told about one person who might have had a reason for killing him. And there might be others.
Well, I don't know who it could be.
Now think, Miss Stringer. Who are the two men in a community who know more about people's private affairs than anybody else?
Well, shucks, that's easy, Roy. Their lawyer and their doctor.
I was asking Miss Stringer, Pat.
Oh, excuse me.
Pat's right, Miss Stringer. Now tell me, do you know where the doctor kept his files, the records of his cases?
Why, sure, he kept them right here in the office.
Well, I'd like to go through them, if you don't mind.
What? Go through his files? Oh, I couldn't let you do that, Mr. Rogers.
You want to see the doctor's murderer caught, don't you?
Well,
Well, yes, of course.
Well, I do, too. Now, there may be something in his records that'll give us a clue to why he was killed and who did it. Don't you think it's worth a chance?
Well, all right, Mr. Rogers, I'll get the keys.
Roy?
Yeah, Pat?
You ain't said a word since we left Doc Bannister's house.
I've been thinking, Pat.
Oh, then you did find something in Doc's files.
Well, yes and no, Pat. Yes and no.
Now, what kind of an answer is that?
Well, let's put it this way. The fact that I didn't find something I should have found, well, it makes me think I may have found something.
Oh, sure. Well, then that means... come again?
Oh, here we are. Wonder if Dale and Jane are back. Well, Pat, you take a look out back at Trigger and Bullet. I want to talk to Jane if she's back from town.
Sure, Roy.
Well, hi, folks. Did you get... Oh, good evening, Chief.
Hello, Roy. I'm glad you're here.
Oh? Some more trouble?
I'm afraid so.
This is perfectly ridiculous. Roy, this man comes in here and accuses...
Please, Miss Evans, if you don't mind, I'll tell Mr. Rogers why I'm here.
You all sound mighty touchy. What's the matter, Chief?
Late this afternoon, Jane Parker and Miss Evans came to my office to make arrangements for the release of Dr. Bannister's body.
So?
They were the only two in my office between 4 and 5. And they were the only two people I left alone in the office.
Well, I don't get it, Chief. What happened?
When I left my office, the knife that killed Dr. Bannister was on my desk. After these two ladies left and I came back, it was gone.
We'll return to Roy Rogers in part two of tonight's story in just a moment.
Man, Lisa, that was some dramatic music there. Did you hear that?
Well, that goes along with your personality, talking about that.
That's very...
You're very dramatic.
I can be.
You are.
Yeah, that was that was the first portion of the Roy Rogers Show from 1954. Real quick, you know, our listeners have been sending in really interesting questions to ask us. This might be good. This might be a good thing where we just hang on to the questions. And, like, the first one was... One of them was like, who was the first person you kissed in your life, right?
Right.
That's a good question.
Your favorite car. It was your favorite kind of ice cream.
Like, what's your favorite car to drive? Like, your dream car?
If you had somebody you could leave your family for, who would it be?
Like some movie star
or something? Yeah.
Yeah, like Scarlett Johansson.
Or something like that.
Or somebody like that. Well, one of them was, what's your favorite ice cream? What is your favorite ice cream, Lisa?
Well, it has to be chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate's my favorite,
too. It's got to be chocolate. And if you add some more chocolatey things to it, maybe like chocolate chips or M&Ms, that's good, too.
Oh, you add stuff to the chocolate?
Well, yeah, you got to mix in.
No, no, no.
You add in some M&Ms
All right,
or chips.
We'll get back to the questions, okay. But first...
Mint chocolate chip.
Yeah, that's pretty good, too.
No.
First, these words...
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, we got about another 20 minutes of the show, then Brian Noonan is coming in here.
Yep.
He's taking Nick DiGilio's place this week, I believe, because Nick's on vacation.
No, he's at the convention for horror films.
Yeah, horror convention.
Well,
that's right.
But that ended Sunday. I think he's taken
vacation. Well, today is Sunday. Yeah.
He's probably recuperating.
He's been there all weekend.
He's recuperating.
Yeah, it's going to take him a while.
It might. We as we say, this is his Christmas.
You know, Roger. We had some of our listeners have been. This is a cool idea. They're sending in. Questions for us. One of them was, who was the first person, you know, that you kissed, like your first kiss?
That I remember?
And
other than my mother?
No, come on.
We're not actually doing the question right now.
No, we're not.
We're just talking about some of the questions that have come in. We're going to save this for a later date.
So you want me to think about it?
Think about it. I kind of remember. I remember the first girl I kissed.
I remember.
I was about 10. 10 or 11.
It was a girl, though, right?
Of course it was a girl. What do you think it was?
It was a teddy bear.
And I remember her name.
There
she's
are
probably
other
out
options.
There.
Leave your
she's
mind open.
She's probably out there right now. I mean, she might be listening to the show.
She might
her
be.
Her name?
Don't say it. We're not doing that right now.
Roxanne Hannis.
Oh, he can't stand it.
Roxanne Hannis. And I remember she kissed me. She kissed me. I didn't kiss her. She kissed me. So that might not work with the question.
Well, all I'm saying is now that question is moot because you've already talked about it.
I was at the park, you know, like the community park, right, where there's swings and things. And I was on the swing, and she came up to me, and she planted one right on me, that Roxanne Hannis.
What?
I was about 10.
What? I wasn't listening.
Huh? Anyway, do you remember your first kiss?
Of course I do.
What was his name?
Steve Hoffman.
Steve Hoffman. Did you kiss him or did he kiss you?
No, he kissed me. He asked me over to his house after school, and I was a little
concerned. How old were you?
Concerned about that. I was in third grade.
So
he was in my third grade
that's
class.
Eight. You were eight?
And he brought me a rose.
Gosh.
He gave me a rose, which I thought was sweet.
Eight
but
years
then he kissed
old
me,
and you're kissing a guy?
No, I didn't. I was very uncomfortable with
that. I waited
until
I was 10.
I was not comfortable.
Roger, do you remember the first girl you kissed? Remember her name?
Oh, he's
no,
gone.
He's gone.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll get back to this kind of stuff. Kind of fun.
Yeah, it is great.
But right now, it's time for the Roy Rogers Show.
And now back to Roy Rogers and Dale Evans and a story that always comes to mind whenever they hear the song, I'll Hold You in My Heart.
Hold on now, Chief. What makes you think Dale had anything to do with the missing knife?
The knife had been tagged as evidence and put in my safe. When Jane and Miss Evans arrived, I took it out of the safe to show Jane. I asked her to tell me if she'd ever seen it before.
Is that right, Jane?
Yes, Roy. He showed it to her. But does that prove she took it?
I've asked Jane in a nice way to let me search her things. She refused. Of course, I can always get a search warrant.
Jane. Oh, honey, there.
Oh, I took it. I took it.
Jane!
It's in my purse.
I'll get it, Chief. Here it is, Chief.
Thanks, Roy.
Jane, why did you do it?
Well, I recognized it. I couldn't just let it stay there and be used against him.
Who, Jane?
Spence. It's Spence's knife.
Yes? Oh, hello, Chief.
Evening, Spencer. This is Roy Rogers.
Howdy.
How do you do? Mind if we come in?
Oh, not at all. Oh, glad to know you, Roy. Jane's told me a lot about you. Is Dale with you?
She's with Jane.
Oh. Well, I'm sure anxious to meet her.
Where have you been all day, Spence?
Over to the county seat. Had to pick up the marriage license, you know.
Mm-hmm. What time did you get there?
Oh, about noon. The office was closed. Had to wait till 1 till the clerk got back from lunch.
I see. What time did you get back?
About 3, I guess. Why?
Took you more than 4 hours to drive 10 miles and back?
Well, I stopped to do some shopping. And on the way back, I had a flat, so I... Hey, wait a minute. Why all the questions? What's happened?
You, recognize this knife?
Knife? Yeah, it's mine. Where did you get it?
Out of Doc Bannister's body. Get your coat, Spence.
Well,
I've got to take you in.
So you see, Dale, the chief had no choice except to arrest Spence.
Oh, Roy, that's awful. Jane can't stand another shock. It'll kill her.
You know, things sure don't look too good for that there financier of hers, does it?
They sure don't. Larry told me that Doc Bannister was against the marriage. He thought Spence was marrying Jane for her money.
But Jane hasn't got any money. At least not until she's 21. Then she gets half the estate.
How old is Jane?
19.
Well, who controls the estate now?
Larry, I guess. He's 5 or 6 years older than she is.
Then he's of age.
Roy... You don't think...
Yeah, I'm thinking that if anybody wanted to get his hands on Jane's share of the estate, the logical person to put out of the way would be Larry.
What's that?
Sounded like a shot. Let's see.
Roy! Roy!
It's Larry.
Where are you?
Over here, by the barn.
Larry! Roy, he's hurt.
What happened, Larry?
I came out here to check the horses and somebody took a shot at me. It got me in the leg.
Let's see. You're lucky. Just a flesh wound. Help me get him into the house, Pat.
Sure.
Okay, Larry. Now, take it easy. You'll be all right.
Are you feeling better, Larry?
Yeah, sure. Dale's real handy at first aid.
Why would anybody want to shoot Larry?
Well, I'm not sure yet. I do think I know why the doc was killed.
Well, what? Do I?
Well, this afternoon, Pat and I went over to the doc's house. I talked to Miss Stringer, his housekeeper, and she let me look through Doc Bannister's files.
His files? Well, did you find anything?
Yeah. Jane, Larry told me that the doc practically raised you both after your folks passed on. Matter of fact, he brought you into the world. Is that right?
Well, he brought me into the world. Larry was born in San Francisco.
Well, anyway, he was your family doctor and your folks' doctor for many years, wasn't he?
Yes.
Then don't you think it's kind of funny that when I went through his files, I found a folder marked Parker, but there were no records in it. Not one single piece of paper. I'll get it. Hello?
Hi, Roy. This is Pat. I'm calling you from outside like you told me to.
Miss Stringer? Well, glad you called.
Miss Stringer? Roy, this is me, Pat.
You found what?
I didn't find a dadgum thing. I'm just calling you on the phone like you told me.
The doctor's duplicate records? Well, where'd you find them?
That's all. I give up.
In the basement, huh? Miss Stringer, you guard those files with your life. With your life, you understand?
I don't understand a cotton-picking thing. I wish I'd have stayed in California.
I'll be right over, Miss Stringer. Goodbye.
Well, of course, Mr. Rogers, I'll be glad to do anything I can to help, but I wish you'd explain what this is all about.
I wish I had time, Miss Stringer. Now, just hand me that big filing envelope and give me some blank pieces of paper.
Well, all right, but I wish I knew what you were doing.
Well, just trust him, Miss Stringer. Roy's out to catch the person who killed the doctor.
Shenanigans. Shenanigans. All the time we... Look out!
All right, Mr. Rogers. I've got everybody in the room covered. I'll do exactly what I tell you and nobody will get hurt.
Like you say, you've got us covered.
Now you're being sensible. Throw your guns on the floor. Put the envelope on the desk. Now tell Miss Evans to walk to the wall and turn off the lights.
Roy.
Do as he says, Dale.
Now, everybody turn around and face the wall. I'm coming in. I don't advise anybody to turn around until I'm gone. Okay? Do it!
Thanks, Chief.
Let go, let go, let
turn
me
on the
go.
Lights, Dale.
Larry!
That's right, Dale. Larry Parker. And I sure don't know how to break this news to Jane. There comes a bride. She sure is pretty.
Yeah. Roy.
Yeah?
I'm just so burned up with curiosity, I just can't enjoy the wedding.
What's the matter?
Well, I want to know a few things.
So do I.
Dale, you're disturbing the wedding march.
Well, I don't care. Now, Roy Rogers, you tell me why Larry Parker killed Dr. Bannister.
Well, it's a long story, but I'll make it short. To begin with, Larry wasn't really Jane's brother.
What?
Well, who was he?
He was a foster son. Jane's parents thought they couldn't have any children, so they started to adopt Larry. But they had so much trouble with him that they never bothered to make it legal. Doc Bannister knew it, and he knew that Jane was really entitled to the whole estate.
Oh, I see.
All that stuff Larry told me about the doc being against the marriage was all lies. What really happened is that the doc found out that Larry had been stealing money from Jane's trust fund. He went to Larry and threatened to expose him. Showed him the records in his files that proved that Larry had no legal right to the Parker money. Larry figured if he killed the doc and made it look like Spence had done it, he'd not only protect his secret, but prevent Jane's marriage. That's why he stole Spence's knife.
Yeah, but who was it that took the shot at Larry?
Why, even I know the answer.
Child?
Larry shot himself to take any suspicion Roy might have had of him.
That's right, Pat.
And all that talk about the doctor having duplicate records in his files was just a scheme to get Larry scared and give himself away?
Sure. I tipped off the chief, and he had the place surrounded.
More shenanigans. I just wish we could go one place without shenanigans.
Shh! Quiet, Pat. The ceremony's almost over.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Oh, look, Roy. Don't Jane and Spence look happy?
Yeah, they sure do.
Mushy stuff. Well, come on, Roy. Let's line up and get ready to kiss the bride.
And folks, that's the story I'm reminded of every time I hear the song called I'll Hold You in My Heart. I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms like you've never been held. Night away till you are in my arms once more.
The stars up in the sky know the reason why
I feel so blue when I'm away. In my arms, so darling, please wait for me.
I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms like you've never been held before. Day, and then I'll dream the night away till you are in my arms once more. The stars up in the sky know the reason why
I feel so blue when I'm away. So many of your neighbors have been ordering elegant new 54 Dodges that your Dodge dealer now has the best selection of top quality dependable used cars in town. You better see them. And listen, folks, you better get in the Big Dodge All-America contest because there are only 15 days left for you to win that great 2-week vacation. Oh, Dale, tell the folks all the things they can win.
The grand prize is this. You win 2 weeks away with double pay. Yes, a 2 weeks vacation for two anywhere in the USA with double your regular 2 weeks salary, plus $500 to spend as you please, plus the use of an elegant new Dodge for the 2 weeks. And there are many big daily cash prizes, too. There's a new contest every day with a grand prize given away every day. So you see, it's easy to win. And like Roy said, there are only 15 days left.
That's right, folks. 15 days left, 15 chances to win 2 weeks away with double pay.
Better see your Dodge Plymouth dealer right away.
Well, that does it for tonight, folks. See you next Thursday, same time. Until then, goodbye, good luck, and may the good Lord take a liking to you.
Happy trails with Dodge, the car that gives you more.
The new Roy Rogers Radio Show is produced under the supervision of Art Rush and directed by Ralph Rose. Tonight's story was written by Ralph Rose and Stanley Adams. Music arranged and conducted by Frank Worth. Production assistant, Virginia White. Tonight's all-star cast included Pat Brady, the Mellow Men, Joy Terry, Ruth Parrott, Tom Holland, Leo Clary, and Bill Justine. Join us again next Thursday evening at this time when the dependable Dodge Plymouth dealer in your neighborhood will again bring you the new Roy Rogers Radio Show. Lou Crosby speaking for the man who sells and services Dodge job-rated trucks and the elegant new 54 Dodge.
That's the Roy Rogers Show from March 11th, 1954. Roy Rogers and Dale Evans and all their gang. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Lisa, when we come back here next week, as you said earlier, Have Gun Will Travel, You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx, David Harding Counters Spy, that's Saturday. On Sunday, it's Red Rider and the Life of Riley. That's what we do. We play classic radio shows every single Saturday and Sunday beginning at 11 p.m.